connecting to the internet.
Internet.
Networking software.
World Wide Web for the web.
Computer today.
Computer.
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 NetSurfer Pro.
And wow, we are here at the red carpet premiere of the NetSurfies, the second annual ever to be held. And who is that coming down the way?
Okay. I made it. We're ready, right? We're starting everything.
It's Galen himself, and he appears to be wearing some sort of elaborate costume.
Yes. I'm so sorry I was late. I had a nice red tuxedo, but my tailor messed it up. He gave me a blue tuxedo, and so I needed to get some red paint. But I went to the paint shop, and the paint shop didn't have any lights, so I had to go to the light bulb shop. But their door
What's
handle
that
was
coming
broken,
up the way?
So
That's,
I had to go to the
it
door
can't be.
Handle shop.
It's Bane in his work uniform.
I have a lunch break, so I could come here for 5 minutes. Then I have to drive back very quickly, or else I won't be there to operate the ninja.
It was this whole quest line, but I'm here now, and I'm so excited to be here for the NetSurfies. You know, it's we look forward to this every year, is, you know, reflecting on the year that we just had.
But where's Matt?
Yes.
Matt is nowhere to be seen.
I believe that Matt is Matt, of course, my host of NetSurfer Pro, Whirlwind Ride Through the World Wide Web. I believe getting the final piece. Ride Operator Brain, I see that you are, of course, in a Ride Operator uniform.
I have to go. Goodbye.
Oh man. You hate to see him go, but you love to watch him leave. Am I right?
And what's that coming up the way? It's Hyperrealistic Mario.
It's me, a Hyperrealistic Mario.
Always a good sight to see. Hyperrealistic Mario, of course, is always, is just a floating head, but oh man, that hat is so vibrant and realistic.
And here we have, could it be? Finally, he's appeared! Cypher from Valorant!
Hey, it's me, Cypher! I'm from Valorant, Spaghetti! I love being here at the NetSurfies. I'm, of course, wearing my standard Cypher from Valorant gear. We all know it, we all love it, we all know who I am and what I wear.
And who's that?
Oh my god, wait.
I can't believe it, it's Johnny Michaels Michaels!
Johnny Michaels Michaels?
Yeah. I'm here instead of Matt. I totally don't have her locked up in the trunk of my car. Don't worry about it.
How could you not have Matt locked up in the trunk of your car?
Don't worry about it.
You were supposed to bring them here, in the backseat of your car.
They wanted to ride in the trunk. Come on, it's okay, let's go inside. I paid a lot of money for this red carpet.
I didn't pay any money for this red carpet. Don't tell the announcers.
What was that? It's me, a Hyperrealistic Mario.
And what's this? Hyperrealistic Mario has a whistle around his head. That is, he's somehow holding on to despite having no arms nor neck. And he's blowing it in this direction.
Sweet. Sweet.
And that's it! That activated the Matt signal!
Oh my god, the Matt signal. Oh wow, it seems that Matt... Oh my gosh, I think Matt is coming around the mountain when she comes.
Gross. Okay, what did I miss? I'm sorry I was here. I had to break out of a car in an elaborate escape room style. Very much reminiscent of a Newgrounds Flash game.
Well, I'm so glad to have you here, Matt, main host of NetSurfer Pro, Whirlwind Ride Through the World Wide Web.
I'm glad to be here, Galen, co-host of NetSurfer Pro, Whirlwind Ride Through the World Wide Web, for the TalkSurfies.
Yes.
Our second annual.
Well, the NetSurfies this year, actually. The TalkSurfies are next
year. Oh, shit, you're right. It is NetSurfies. I was locked in a car.
Yeah, they say that you get carbon dioxide poisoning from being locked in a car, unfortunately.
Yep, it's carbon dioxide.
Yep. But we're here. We've got our repertoire of characters. It's so nice. Everybody else can go inside, of course. We have to stay outside and do the NetSurfies first before the big gala.
Yeah,
happens.
Famously the award show happens right outside the building and then you go inside for the after party.
Yep. And so it's like a wedding, you know, everybody only goes there for the party that happens after.
Yeah.
You know, nobody really cares about the wedding itself. It's like,
yeah.
I swear I'll love you forever. It's like, yeah, snore, who cares? I want that free bar.
I want that bar that costs money because it's expensive to get a free bar.
I want that bar exam so I can become a lawyer at this wedding.
I want that bar to go over my chest when I ride a roller coaster.
I can arrange that.
Right, Operator Bane. Come on, go inside. Go inside with the rest of them. It's me, Hyperrealistic Mario. I'm floating away like in Mario Teaches a Typing.
Well, I think everyone just left, so let's get this underway.
Yep.
If this is your first year here, the NetSurfies is our award show where we go over some things from across the year that we have sort of enjoyed, thought was very good, want to recommend, and generally just represents the good things of the year in sort of the general purview of what we cover. Now, before we actually start with the awards, I do want to kind of give a quick recap of this year.
Yes, this is another thing that we also like doing, is kind of looking at what we talked about this year, what we've done this year. It's just, you know, it's good to look at your statistics and sort of see what we actually like talking about. And so this year, Matthew has put together some of the things.
But these are only fun statistics. We're not talking about listens or anything like that, or views.
Yeah, we call these funtistics because mm-hmm. they're fun and statistics.
Yeah. So, first off, actually, this is really the only category of statistic we have, is the exact topics we've covered and sort of how many of each category of thing we've covered. So, being a show about the world, a whirlwind ride through the World Wide Web, we talked about 6 internet things. Things originally from the internet or hosted on the internet or pertinent to the internet. So this is where, like, our YouTube videos and web series and stuff go. We have covered 5 video games, one of which was a 3-parter episode. And I think, was Yume Nikki a 2-parter or was that a 1-parter?
I think Yume Nikki was a 1-parter, but I think that we also... I know we definitely touched on it a lot in another episode as well.
Yeah. We have covered 2 movies, one of which was during the middle of the year, and the last one was just recently. I was surprised to learn we had only covered 1 musical album this year.
Yeah, kind of, I say famously, but famous between the 2 of us is that I do not listen to a lot of albums, and you very much do listen to
a number of albums. I'm a big music listener.
And so we only really talked about 1, but, you know, that personally, I don't find that surprising. Although I will say I would love to cover more next year because albums are very nice. You only mm-hmm. need about an hour to actually go through them. You need, you know, a day or two after to really compile your thoughts and re-listen to what you want. And so, I'm kind of hoping we can do more of them next year, but, only 1 this year. Honestly, it was a good one that we talked about too.
Mm-hmm. And we have done 6 Talk Surfer shows this year, though one of which wasn't labeled as a Talk Surfer. It was when we talked about the Queen.
Yes.
The British Queen.
The British Queen. I think this is the most we've done in a year, which...
Well, we didn't do Talk Surfers for most of last year.
That's also true.
That was sort of a late addition on last year's menu, so of course it's going to be the most.
Yeah. I think we're trying to incorporate more Talk Surfers a little more regularly, because if, you know, we were to get a little bit bigger and, you know, want to do this live, it would be much easier to do a Talk Surfer show thing live than a NetSurfer Pro thing live. I don't know if people would want to show up for 2 guys talking about, like, just, you know, a single album. We'd be sitting there and being like, yeah, so To Pimp a Butterfly is pretty good.
Oh, God, they definitely wouldn't want to hear us listen to To Pimp a Butterfly live.
Yes.
And also this gives us more time to research things, so if there is a particularly juicy topic that we're about to cover, this gives us some extra time to really prepare ourselves, which, we have needed for our next main episode.
Yes. I think helpful as well with Talk Surfers is that, while we've only talked about 6 internet things as a very specific episode, Talk Surfers tend to be about current events a little bit more, and mm-hmm. that sort of helps us talk about, you know, literally things like what's happening on the internet right now, or things that are big on the internet right now. But those are the funtistics over this year. Why don't we get into the NetSurfies?
Yes. So our first sort of block of awards here is going to be things mainly based around internet content. The first off is a bit of an unconventional one. It is Best Longest, a category for long things, mainly videos. In actually, it's only videos this time. But yes. Specifically long videos, over an hour.
Yes. I think this year it's, in fact, yeah, no, it's only over an hour for this year. But what a really good showing this year from just so many great creators pumping out wonderful content.
Mm-hmm.
And the categories this year are...
You mean the nominees?
Sorry, yes. And the nominees this category are...
Action Button Reviews, Boku no Natsu Yasumi. The premiere of Action Button Season 2, this time talking about a somewhat more of a cult classic here in the Western part of video game audiences, about a kid going on summer break.
Line goes up. Dan Olsen had a wonderful showing this year all around, but Line Goes Up was the earliest thing this year in January, all about NFTs, right at the tail end of sort of the NFT craze. It was a wonderful dissection of not only what NFTs are and why they are scams, but why Web 3.0 as a sort of brand itself is a scam.
And why people might have gotten into these. The Rise and Fall of Disney Greatest Sitcom. From a creator I'll talk about a bit more later on, this is a sort of rewatch slash analysis of Mighty Med, a Disney sitcom that I actually gained a lot of respect for through this this video.
Quentin Reviews is the end of Victorious. Quentin Reviews also had quite a good showing this year, continuing his extremely deep dive into Nickelodeon. He has thus far created over, I think, 30 hours of Nickelodeon-based content, and The End of Victorious was notorious for being the 8-hour Victorious video in which he just absolutely goes ham on all kinds of, not just Victorious itself, but Victorious merch, what Victorious sort of meant for the channel, all kinds of subjects. We salute you.
Disney Channel's theme, A History Mystery. Defunct Land's powerful documentary about properly crediting sources in an age where corporate artists don't often get enough credit, and about sort of what it means to be a documentarian on the internet.
Roblox_oof.mp3. H Bomber Guy made a wonderful documentary about the Roblox oof, just was supposed to apparently be a simple little video over where it came from, which then turned into a documentary over Tommy Tallarico, who, despite being a heavily respected figure in video games, turned out to basically kind of just be a scam artist. And also went on to essentially make a point about the fact that video games, especially the early history of video games, is kind of getting to a point where we really need to start preserving it and caring about it so that people like Tommy Tallarico don't start writing it for us.
And the winner is...
Line Goes Up by Dan Olsen.
Yes, Folding Ideas on YouTube.
This was honestly one of the biggest starts of the year, one of the best starts of the year. This was a video that I immediately told all of my friends was something that they had to watch, and then all of them went no, and I went okay. But I would very much recommend, while NFTs in general have kind of died out, I'm going to put some air quotes around there, I still think it's absolutely an important video just because it's not just about NFTs itself, but it's about how the internet seems like it's going to be shaped and what we can do to push back against that.
It's also about the psychology of scams, the social and economic sort of situations that led to the rise of NFTs and crypto as a whole. It was released at the perfect time. I would say it was near the height of NFTs, which, you know, is a very short-lived sort of bubble. But it was the perfect video for... containing every piece of information you could want about why they are scams.
Yes. It should be slightly noted, we didn't really note it beforehand, but if we have something on a category here, that means it is probably worth your time anyway. So don't just watch the winners, watch everything, or don't. We can't tell you what exactly to do, but anything that is on this list has our seal of approval.
So yes, check out all of those if you want to find good content. And additionally, we are going to come up to our next category now.
Yes. So as we occasionally shout out at the end of the our episodes, and by occasionally I mean every time, we are more specifically Matt here is a streamer.
Mm-hmm.
Twack on Twitch. Go ahead and give them a follow. Because of that, streaming content is very important to our blood as well. We'd like to keep an eye on it. And, this is the first category that I like to call Do It Yourself, Matt.
I will.
So, unfortunately, I, as a person, just sort of don't watch a lot of live stream content, and so, this is one category where Matt is going to be the one to, sort of really designate all of this and say everything about it. So, I'm gonna go grab a drink of water, and, you know, by the time I'm done drinking it, the category should be over.
And your nominees for best live stream are... Who Will Replace Me? The Jerma special where he hires a bunch of actors to attempt to impersonate him, show off their talents, and maybe replace him. Jerma Gets Shot. Funny Rave 6, Rave's Anatomy. The final Funny Rave installment for the foreseeable future. Funny Rave 6 was the a culmination of a lot of hard work by many talented artists on the internet. A huge collaboration between mashup artists, DJs, YTPMV creators, and other musicians in visual editing talents. The Jerma Baseball Association. Jerma with another big event, this time playing an entire baseball game between clowns and magicians. And chaos ensues. This is not a normal baseball game for not a normal baseball league. iDubbbz Boxing Event. iDubbbz hosted a content creator influencer boxing event, and there's a lot of influencer boxing. This one was neat because I knew the people in it to some degree, including Dad from the ARG Dad, who just wailed on a guy. The Big House 10, the most stacked melee tournament of all time. What else is there to say? Bounce SMP in general. This is the SMP Minecraft multiplayer server that Rubber Ross sort of spearheaded with a huge amount of mods pertaining to sort of roleplay elements, just a lot of mods meant for server interaction. It brought a ton of different types of content creators together and has had a lot of interesting arcs, such as a war between people who are tall and people who are not tall, and the arc where people kept making fast food restaurants. And Mogul Chess Boxing, where Ludwig hosted a boxing event. This time, though, it was chess boxing, where you play a round of boxing, then a round of chess, then a round of boxing, then a round of chess, with a surprise appearance of first time ever in the world performed melee boxing, where you play Smash, then boxing. And the winner is... The Jerma Baseball Association.
That was a lot of water. Yeah, I think we're just gonna have to make like the Game Awards and ban Jerma at some point because
yeah, Jerma is winning these best live streams because he just kind of does things that no other content creator has done that much.
Yes, this was a big year for boxing events. Also, I'd just like to say that Dad from the ARG Dad actually beat up Matt from Super Mega.
Oh, that's even funnier.
Yes, and Joe Rogan talked about it because Joe Rogan thought that someone's dad beat him up.
he didn't know Dad?
Yep.
Dad is cool.
It's Joe Rogan. Are you surprised that he doesn't know things? Anyway, the Jerma Baseball Association, Jerma is a creator's creator and is just really endlessly inventive.
I think, like, we're seeing both his skills as a director and his ability to make good casting decisions.
Yes.
As in, like, hiring people for the role.
Yeah, like, it isn't just Jerma. A lot of the people that were hired as the mimes and the clowns were, like...
Magicians
and clowns.
The mimes were in a different game that day.
But they were, like, they were pitch perfect in, like, just all the japes they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
It was... A wonderful event that I definitely didn't watch.
It wasn't just normal baseball. There were like power cards and abilities that were introduced. There were like planned events like a streaker running across the field. There was the revival and return of Ball Fondler.
Yes.
Which was a whole running arc throughout the year. And the casters who had sort of broadcasted the game that day, the commentators were also stellar, never dropping character. It was a feat of improv, costuming, artistry, performance work, all around great thing. Jerma will be banned from this category next year.
Yep. so Moving on from streaming to honestly kind of the opposite of streaming.
The tail side of the same coin.
Yeah, yeah. We have best edited content. This is more open than best longest. Best longest is, of course, also open to things like streaming, just anything long. Best edited, meanwhile, is exclusively edited content, usually things like YouTube videos, YouTube series, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And the nominees this year are Via Verde, the sort of sleeper hit of this year. Via Verde is a wonderful Argentinian ARG series that has only had one part, but absolutely flabbergasted both of us thus far.
One and a half parts.
But we are waiting on pins and needles for the next episode, and so thank you very much to the creator for creating something so wonderfully unique.
Joel's Trip to America. Varg Skeletor Joel took a trip to America and just kind of marveled at all of the bizarre Americana and the way Americans act. It was a beautiful tribute to our country. Captain Ahab, The History of David Steeb. This was a Secret Base production, spearheaded and narrated by John Boyes. It talked about a sort of often overlooked pitcher in MLB named Dave Steeb and his wild history and records and the pursuit of a perfect game.
Lost, TV's biggest mess. Billiam, a creator who's normally usually making a sort of 30-minute-ish and less content, came out with two Lost retrospectives. One was last year, and the part two of that was this year. Absolutely, Billiam in short bursts is always very fun, and he just sort of doesn't really lose the momentum when in long-form content, and so we salute you, Billiam. Thank you very much for a wonderful, wonderful, unexpected top part two drop. Finding Yeezus. Kanye Quest 3030, I think is what it was a game that was released a long time ago. It was mostly a tongue-in-cheek shitpost kind of game, but there was a strange underlayer that a lot of YouTube commentators picked up on, where there was an Easter egg in the last section that seemed to have ties to a cult. And so a YouTube creator group under the name of Grouse House ended up searching and finding the original creator. It was a wonderful deep dive and I keep saying wonderful deep dive and things like that, but it really was a very fun deep dive, had a wonderful Auntie Donna Easter egg as well, and all props to the creator as well.
It was a fun investigation.
Yes,
there you go, there's a word.
It was a very fun investigation into a long-standing internet mystery that I honestly never expected to have an answer.
Also, disclaimer, Kanye West is barely actually even mentioned at all throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, it has nothing to actually do with Kanye West. It's mostly just the Kanye Quest video game, which itself doesn't really have anything to do with Kanye West.
And Action Button Reviews Boku no Natsu Yasumi.
And the winner is Finding Yeezus. I probably rambled a little too much in the actual category there, which might have spoiled that it was the one that won.
To add some of my own words, it is a great sort of introduction to a lot of different artists. See, the mystery is who made the game and why, and the ending is not what you expect. The Auntie Donna appearance is not what you would expect, which is great. But it's also just along the way they meet all these very interesting people who all have very interesting views on what it means to be an artist.
Yes. I feel like the most interesting thing to me is the fact that they sort of actually built upon essentially similar investigations because they recognized Grouse House is an Australian group, and they recognized that they might actually live very close by to the person who made it. And so they ended up sort of building upon people like Inside of Mind or Game Theory, who had their own theories over who the person could be. And so it was such a wonderful adventure.
Mm-hmm. And I think That brings us to our final category for this block.
Yes, the Small Creator of the Year, which last year, I believe you also mentioned, is a little ironic that we're shouting out small creators, considering we are ourselves in no real position to call other people small creators.
We're smaller than they are. They should be shouting us out.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Mr. 1,000 subs on YouTube, why aren't you shouting us out? This is the category specifically for people who have, the YouTube metric is under 1,000, subscribers, no, under 100,000 subscribers. We don't really have other metrics for other creators. We'll figure that out when we get to them. But for right now, the nominees this year are Big Yellow. Big Yellow, I think mostly focuses on Pokemon content, but also became extremely eclectic. Making videos over, say, a really interesting Lego piece, the cyan piece in Lego as well. Oh god, what was the...
There was, like, explorations of games like Worms 3D.
Yes!
They made a lot of videos on fighting games as well.
Yes, and their Pokemon videos are also just extremely interesting because they're kind of usually about the Pokemon community.
Yeah, also they're gender fluid, shouts out.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Frank Laundrie, a up-and-coming video essayist, and his video on America Will Never Have Walkable Cities was, I think, one of the most important videos that we did not shout out in Best Edited Content. So please just look that out especially. He has a fresh new perspective on things. Mara Ganger. She is a YouTuber who mainly covers bizarre and interesting video games, mainly like RPG Maker games, and that sort of surreality, sort of creepy RPG Maker horror game, and things inspired by it.
Bumbles McFumbles. Bumbles McFumbles kind of shot a little bit into the public eye with a video, I think last year, of the biggest cheaters in Punch-Out. But once again, kind of went on to just make a bunch of eclectic, really fun little videos over subjects like just strange, four strange fighting games, the whole Burger King trilogy of video games, and doing more than just sort of talking about them in general, but also going into deep dives over histories of these things and things like that. Once again, just a very fun, eclectic creator who just kind of makes videos over whatever he wants.
Lee Speaks. She makes videos on a lot of internet properties that were marketed mainly towards teenage girls. Things from, like, Girls Go Games websites, a lot of virtual worlds. I believe she has been working on a video on the Disney-related virtual worlds, which I'm personally excited for. Very, very good content.
Reverend. Reverend, from what I could tell, mostly made videos about playing like Pokemon Showdown and other things like that, but this year came out swinging with Pokemon-related videos that were also just really fun. Pokemon Cryptids is probably the highlight here, although I would also say that the Uber Red Blue Yellow Ubers metagame video is also really interesting. As somebody who is not into competitive Pokemon, it's very followable, and also just his deadpan is kind of wonderful. Also, apparently a bit of a friend with Big Yellow, or at least a compatriot. So, you know, shouts out to Reverend, and shouts out to Big Yellow again.
And the winner is...
Big Yellow. I think we really like eclectic sort of creators here.
You like the word eclectic.
I like the word eclectic. Listen.
I like diverse, as in they have a wide array of content.
Listen, I go through this thing where I learn one word and then just use it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, on one hand, Pokemon is very fun. On the other hand, videos that are just sort of deep dives into random topics are very fun, and Big Yellow is kind of a wonderful intersection of both of these.
I like when you can tell that the creator is doing videos on what they want to do rather than following analytics.
And it's also just sort of really fun to learn about things like random Lego pieces, or the history of random Lego pieces.
Or Worms 3D.
Or Worms 3D, or in fact, whether or not various levels in Worms 3D's story mode would actually be good levels in multiplayer.
Or RNG in fighting games.
Okay. However, once again, we would also like to say that all of these creators are wonderful, and if you've made it into this year, congratulations. You've won. Now, as with every dinner, unfortunately, we do have to have our Brussels sprouts, and this year is no exception. There have been a lot of random little dumpster fires, from things like Twitter and He Who Should Not Be Named to Overwatch and the diversity chart.
Yes, the Blizzard diversity tool that scientifically determines how much diversity your characters are.
Finally, we can literally have a woke number. But there's only one king of trash, and there's only one thing that actually deserves an award of all of this.
Right, the other two are just kind of sad and or don't deserve to be given an award or even a nomination.
They deserve to be pointed and laughed at, but they don't deserve any sort of acclaim, even an acclaim given in jest. And so this
year, they don't
year,
even deserve a pizza trophy.
Exactly. And so this year, we would like to award Dumpster Fire of the Year to
Morbius.
Morbius is a perfect dumpster fire because not only is it really dumb and a little cynical, it's much more hilarious than that. Morbius was a movie that wasn't all that great, very, very eh, but became this internet touchstone to where a bunch of executives went, oh my god, it's become a meme. Let's try and capitalize upon it. And so they attempted to, not realizing that the meme was entirely at their expense. Sony lost a lot of money, and that's really funny.
Right, yeah, they ran the movie twice and it lost money both times. It became sort of a new So Bad It's Good classic. There's a ton of memes made from Morbius himself, the character, and the music involved in the movie, and some of the really silly scenes. Morbius sort of was added to the internet lingo and jargon and slang for a bit. Things like morbing out or Morbius sweep or Dr. Michael Morbius, stuff like that. It became a tidal wave of a force, a whole movement.
In a sense, there was a Morbius sweep, but we simply swept it under the rug.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Until now.
Until now, where we have pulled up the rug and gone, eh. But thank you very much, Morbius. You truly did give us laughs. I mean, not the movie itself, but, like, the idea of Morbius was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the dumpster fire currently happening, I should probably go and put that fire out, actually.
Yep. It's time for another edition of
It's Matthew's Time to Shine. I don't remember what I called it the last time.
Sure. I'll do that. Okay, yeah, go get some water to put out the fire.
Yep, I'm gonna go drink some water to put out the fire.
Oh, like Mario.
Yeah, exactly.
In Superstar Saga. Okay, so album of the year. I listen to a lot of music. Maybe not enough new music, but these are some new albums I listened to from this year that I have to shout out, and one of them may win. And your nominees are William Moranci, The Flamingo Cafe, a powerful, recent mashup album by William Moranci, maybe his finest work, that actually packs a lot of emotion, not just laughter and fun, but some really serious stuff as well. Coheed and Cambria, Vaxus 2. Fans of the show or of me might know that I hyperfixated on Coheed and Cambria this year, Vaxus 2 being the most recent installment in their long-running, ongoing concept album series, this time the second installment of the second arc. Jer, Bothered Unbothered. Skatune Network has been making ska covers for quite some time now, and the person behind it has been playing trombone in bands such as We Are the Union, but they only this year released their first solo album of original songs. Bothered Unbothered has a lot of very political messages in line with sort of Jer's own sort of beliefs and views on what ska should be and could be. Kendrick Lamar, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. Kendrick's return to studio albums after, I believe, Damn was the last one, and it was a phenomenal one, bringing back much more of his poetic verses, spoken word sections, and kind of just retaking on a lot of themes that other rappers have tried to do, but not as well as Kendrick. Young Costello, some stories told, some new, some old. A new EP by an up-and-coming ska punk band named Young Costello, who is also very powerful and very clear in their political messaging, very rebellious, and very punk. And the winner is Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers by Kendrick.
Okay, I'm back. And yeah, that's not terribly surprising, but having this being the only thing that I've actually listened to a number of songs from, this is also quite a good album.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who has not listened to Pimp a Butterfly yet, Kendrick is a really good lyricist, is a really good rapper too, and just the opening song alone is so weirdly experimental and not gonna say wonderful again, and good that I am completely unsurprised.
All right.
Do you have anything to say as well? Or?
I think I said about all of it.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
It's a really good album. Okay. Streamable Thing of the Year is our next category, which is different than Best Edited Content because, see, we live in an era of streaming services and movies and TV shows. There's been a lot of lines blurred, especially TV shows, as sort of the streaming service show has become a common sight. So Best Streamable Thing of the Year sort of encompasses anything that is released corporately as sort of a movie, TV show, or streaming series.
Yes. In a different age, this would probably be where we would talk about things like, you know, oh, the newest thing on Comedy Central or what have you. But this is just the age we live in, and, you know, if it's on HBO or Netflix or what have you, this is where we come to talk about it. And the nominees this year are... Sorry, I stepped all over you.
I was just going to say, this was another one where I will be talking about most of it.
Yes.
And the nominees are... Adam by Eve. Eve, a J-Rock artist who is probably most well-known in the West for doing the intro to Jujutsu Kaisen and one of the endings for Chainsaw Man, released a sort of feature-length music video movie experience that tells an original story that is interspersed with Eve's own music.
And I should say that this is also one that you've shown me parts of, and it is... I love experimental stuff. I love experimental media, and so this is one that should be on your list.
The Rehearsal, the newest Nathan Fielder project, the one he released, the only one he's released since Nathan For You, a powerful, bizarre, introspective view at what it means to sort of like social anxiety about the artifice of television and about acting, and a very, very interesting ending that kind of makes a case for child actors, like, not existing.
Nathan Fielder sparked a bit of controversy this year with this specific thing, and anything that's controversial can either be very good or, very interesting, or very don't even watch it. This is definitely on the side of very interesting, so if you saw the controversy and were worried about it, you probably this gets our more interesting than controversial badge.
It will be uncomfortable many times, because that is what Nathan Fielder's shows are.
Yes.
But that discomfort is often for a greater purpose than just making the audience uncomfortable. The Boys Season 3. The third season of The Boys, the show that took a sort of underwhelming graphic novel and turned it into a commentary on the military-industrial complex, big pharmaceutical complex, police brutality, racism in systems like those, and even just pushes it further than it already was.
Glass Onion. Yes, Netflix decided to make two more Knives Outs. We talked about Knives Out just like a month ago at this point.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned that this movie, you know, had come out and that we liked it. And honestly, this got me more excited for the third possible movie, because, oh boy, does Rian Johnson kind of knock it out of the park. Daniel Craig is once again just absolutely wonderful, and not just the two really big names. I would like to shout out everyone who is in this movie. This is a wonderful murder mystery. It's still along the lines of doing wonderful classic mystery sort of mystery shenanigans with a modern edge that's extremely necessary.
And Stranger Things Season 4, which is, I'm gonna be completely honest, it's mainly up here so we can have more than four nominees. The category was looking a little thin. But it is very interesting for bringing back Kate Bush's Running Up That Hill. That's it. That's all. I'm sorry. Sorry, Stranger Things fans. And your winner is...
Glass Onion. Yes, that happens to be the one that I talked about and not Matthew.
Wow. Interesting. You could have deduced that that might have been it.
Exactly. I like that wording. That means that it was intentional and not just the fact that I haven't watched a lot of streamable things this year.
Glass Onion is also, again, sort of commentary on current events, in this case about a certain someone who we won't mention. It is also just filled with a love for games, whereas the first one was about mystery novels, this was about mystery games and puzzles and riddles and stuff like that. It is hilarious, it is insightful, it has great performances, and it is an Among Us reference.
Yeah, the whole thing is an Among Us movie. This is a movie that I think Rian Johnson basically was just written more or less a blank check and could have done whatever he wanted. He very much could have just phoned this in. All of them kind of could have just phoned this in. And the fact that they didn't, the fact that everybody puts just their absolute A game forward is so nice.
So coming up next is another category where I'm going to do the heavy lifting. I kind of feel bad because while Galen hasn't listened to as many music albums or streamable things as I have, he definitely hasn't watched as much anime as I have.
Yes.
But also, I haven't watched as much anime as I would like to. There's a lot of series that I've heard are great that are not on this list because I have not seen them. So this is Anime of the Year. I will be taking the reins and... if something that is your fave is not on the list, I probably just didn't get around to it. And your nominees are... Yurei Deko. In a world where likes on social media are currency, and everyone has VR glasses equipped in their eyeballs, one character learns about the mysterious sort of outskirts and the people living outside the society, unbound by the digital system. Chainsaw Man. It's the anime for Chainsaw Man. If you don't know what this is, it's a guy that turns into a chainsaw man, and it's about demons, and it's weird and personal and real and human. Mob Psycho Season 3. The third season of Mob Psycho 100. This time, it's the third one. It has equally as good openings and music and animation and still a powerful message about a young boy growing up, finding what it means to be himself and to be assertive, and an older man trying to figure out what the hell he's doing.
And Spy X Family. That's right, I'm here this time.
You came back!
I came back! Spy X Family is, I think, before Chainsaw Man, the one that really took the internet by storm. I've heard all kinds of good things about it, and I've also seen just all kinds of cute things about it, but unfortunately, have not consumed any of it.
Cyberpunk Edgerunners. The cyberpunk anime by Studio Trigger. What could go wrong?
Absolutely nothing. Surprisingly enough, though, yes. While Cyberpunk 2077 was, I think, kind of a trash fire last year. No, the year before. Whenever it came out, it was kind of a trash fire. But Cyberpunk Edgerunners seemingly kind of actually beamed, was the cyberpunk thing that the internet liked. And so, I'm honestly kind of happy that it ended up being something good.
And the winner is Chainsaw Man.
Chainsaw Man.
Because we made a clerical error. Don't worry about it. It's going to be edited out. Chainsaw Man is, it lives up to the hype. That's how I would say. It is interesting. It's very unique. It doesn't feel like many other shows out there. It is also ingrained with a love of cinema, especially, like, horror cinema. If you look at the intro sequence, it is filled with very brief shots that reference all kinds of movies from, like, Pulp Fiction to Jacob's Ladder to Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Nice.
It is also one of the best uses of 3D animation combined with 2D animation. Much better than X-Arm.
Oh, man. The fact that it's better than X-Arm. Phew, jeez.
I know. That's high bar.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, next up is surprise of the year.
Hold on. I have a bigger surprise than anything else. I'm bringing in a new category. I haven't even told Galen what this is.
Oh my god, I'm so surprised. I think this is the real surprise of the year.
Yes. So this is my secret category, which I will now reveal. It is Matt's yearly, monthly, weekly, weekly Shonen Jump, 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 Jump. So, on my stream, I tend to do a segment on the first stream of the week that I do called the Weekly Weekly Shonen Jump Jump, where I talk about the new chapters in Weekly Shonen Jump, as seen on the Manga Plus website.
I don't say it enough, but I very much love you, Matt.
Thanks. I love you too. So, it seems like they add new series every month, because Shonen Jump's very competitive, and anything that doesn't do well gets axed pretty quickly. So this is my award for what I think is the best new manga that released this year in Weekly Shonen Jump, because no other magazine makes it as easy to read new chapters officially as Shonen Jump.
Funnily enough, the solution to pirating is just making it convenient to read things.
Gabe Newell. And the winner is Akane Banashi. I cannot sing this thing's praises enough. Akane Banashi is a manga about Rakugo, the Japanese form of comedic storytelling, where performers tell classic stories that are often funny and humorous, playing every character in the story by themselves. It follows the pursuit of one young woman as she tries to learn the ways of the Rakugo sort of world and tries to overcome things like discrimination.
And hey, you know what? As a little gift for actually listening to this episode, I'm going to make this assertion so that I can hold myself to it. Before March of next year, we are going to have an episode over this manga.
Nice.
I will sit down and read this manga up to a certain milestone at least, and we will have an episode over it.
We will either do an episode on this or on the piano manga.
Hopefully both.
Yeah. Okay, so yes, that was the surprise of this year, but there is other people who have made quite some surprises, and that is what we're doing now. Surprise of the year is something unexpected. It could be anything. It could even be an announcement for anything.
It could be any one of us. It could be you. It could be me. It could even be
our nominees. Oh. Okay, that too.
And so the nominees this year are...
Place 2. Reddit made another place where you could post a pixel of any color anywhere on a giant canvas with like a 5-minute cooldown. And as it was the first time, people scrambled to form groups and coalitions and alliances to create beautiful pixel art and prevent people from filling in everywhere with tiny little Amoguses.
And failing, because everyone likes Amoguses.
Honestly, the fact that the Amogus was the sabotage is still incredibly funny and fitting and kind of wholesome.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe DLC. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe was the Switch port of Mario Kart 8, and pretty much everybody expected there to just be no real actual more tracks for it. It was, you know, a fine enough game, and then suddenly we got DLC for it. We are up to Wave 3 right now. We have had some good, some bad, but overall, just the fact that we have more tracks and the fact that a lot of the tracks that are returning are, in fact, still very good and very fun updates are, quite interesting.
Right. We have, like all-stars, just absolute fan favorites, like Maple Tree Way, Coconut Mall, Peach Gardens.
We've also had a lot, every new one has at least one original one, and we've gotten some absolute bangers there, too. Ninja Hideaway is still probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm. And there's also been some interesting inclusions from Tour.
Yes.
The first time on console.
Sakurai's YouTube channel. Yes, Masahiro Sakurai, having retired from Nintendo after completing Smash and deciding to never do Smash again, created a YouTube channel to discuss things like his philosophy over game design. I would also like to give a shout out in this section to the fact that the person who replaced him on Nintendo Power was Toby Fox.
Not Nintendo Power, Famitsu.
Yeah, Famitsu, sorry.
They don't have Nintendo Power in Japan.
Well, Famitsu is actually the Japanese word for Nintendo Power, sure. Of course. But yes, the fact that Masahiro Sakurai decided, you know what I want to do? Make YouTube videos is kind of wonderful, and I think also speaks a little bit to the shifting culture of how we see YouTube creators. But thank you very much for considering the platform. Worth your time, Sakurai. I look forward to more of your content in the future.
And he also has good advice there.
Yes.
Saban Moon, real. This was actually done by a previous winner, not winner, a previous nominee of Best Small Creator, Bob Dunga, who has since changed her YouTube channel name to her real name, Raymona, has recently found some lost media being the pilot for a live-action Sailor Moon, and just sort of the journey she had looking for these, this media, the quest to find it, accidentally finding other lost media along the way, all the different interesting industry insiders she talked to.
Raymona is, I just want to give another big shout out to Raymona specifically, because this has happened like 3 times on her channel. I love girl game lost media specifically for some reason.
20 eggs eggs. The year is 20 eggs eggs. Players have gotten so good at melee that they can play whatever character they want. A Yoshi player just won the last Super Major. In fact, this is the first time ever that a Yoshi player has won a major. Not only that, he won 3 majors, as well as many invitationals, for the first time in his career this year. That's Amsa, the red Yoshi, who plays for VG Bootcamp, has recently done the impossible and just been taking names and taking stocks with Yoshi.
The Vault Come Back. The Vault was a web series that was probably a little bit seminal in the same way that things like Marble Hornets were seminal.
It was it was lesser known, though. A hidden gem.
Yeah, it was a hidden gem, but a hidden gem from a long time ago. And I believe in direct response to Hugbees creating a hour-long video over The Vault, the Vault creators and some of the actors as well essentially came back and were like, maybe we'll toy around with doing things like this. We got some behind the scenes stuff. We got some interviews with the creators as well. And so we haven't gotten like any confirmation of a part two essentially, but this might be a new sort of era in terms of web fiction.
And I just want to add one quick thing to the end I forgot about until now, which is the Creating Remlazar Blu-ray release.
Oh my god, yeah!
What started as a unassuming VHS on an episode of Best of the Worst, then became a big internet meme thanks to the help of a few people, such as obviously Red Letter Media and Vinny Vinesauce. And now it was given a Blu-ray release. It had a limited theatrical run in New York. It has developed a cult following, and a lot of that is reflected and appreciated by the creators in the DVD release.
And the winner this year is
20 eggs, eggs. Here's some context. So Melee for a long time has had a meme about what characters can win tournaments. The meme being that Fox was the best character. And maybe, recently there's been a huge run by Zane, who plays Marth, or Zen, which is, like, another good character. Very few characters have actually won these major tournaments. It is a game with, like, what, 30 characters or something?
25 total characters.
25 total.
Maybe 24. But the point being, it is a game with 24 characters, and for a very long time, really only 8 of them were essentially seen as viable, because it is essentially, because of various frame data reasons we're not going to get into.
Technical reasons, the game was not balanced to be competitive.
And so a lot of characters are essentially just kind of straight up technically better than other characters. However, what you can't deny is the human element.
Yes. And what you can't deny is that Amsa has been pushing this character harder and harder for the last decade, competing in tournaments, barely brushing close to the top until now, where he's finally broken that first place curse and has now been like repeating it over and over again. Just recently, he won the Scuffed World Tour, which was an invitational held by Ludwig. And it's a good way to end the year if you're an Amsa fan. If you're a fan of underdogs or low tier heroes, which everyone loves an underdog.
I think that there are, like a lot of things, I went through a lot of periods of, like, essentially not having much of opinions, so saying I hate things, and Melee was definitely on that list where I would be like, but I want to play my character, I want to play a character I like. And I feel like this is probably the ultimate counter of, hey, it turns out that actually, yes, the human element is very important. So, like, if you're somebody who, you know, kind of has an instinctual hatred of Melee because... you know, because you have this idea of it being entirely Fox-only, Final Destination, what have you. This is sort of a turning point in Melee that, like, I'm not saying we're going to have a year where, like, Pichu wins, necessarily. But, like, it's important to remember that the human element is always there and always extremely important. So, shoutouts.
And we're not talking about Todd Rogers.
This is, I think, the final segment of the year of...
The Net Surfies.
The
year of 2022?
No,
So, okay, well, we have three big categories remaining.
We have three big categories remaining, yes, but there's one more segment of... Galen actually gets this one. Do-do-do-do-do.
You can do it.
So, if you didn't catch it, we did, a whole tier list of memes of this year.
It may not be up until, after this episode comes out.
Yes, so if you didn't catch that because it wasn't out, we made a whole video over this that'll probably be out afterwards.
We'll be making.
We have a list of a few, very good memes, and so I, because I am sort of the meme man on the show, not that Matt is not the meme man as well, but, you know, it's my title.
I have more, more genders to add on to that, though, yeah. Is the thing.
You're the meme, not squire. Is squire gender neutral?
I don't know.
You're the meme square.
Rude? actually, no, it's hip to be a square.
It is hip to be square. Anyway, the memes of the year are... Morbing. Continuing on from Morbius being the dumpster fire, Morbing and the derivatives of it was a meme that was very popular throughout the year. Kind of had an immediate backlash to the literal Morbing, but this is sort of more about the broad continuation of moments from the movie that were very funny, songs from the movie that were very funny in a so bad it's good way, and just the actual event itself of Morbius sweep, Morbius coming out a second time, what have you. Kid Named Finger. What started as sort of a bastardization of a random generic joke of today we're going to finger paint, kid named paint, then became today we're going to finger paint, kid named finger, with a picture of Mike Urbentraut from Breaking Bad, which then morphed into just its own genre of meme and a absolute reignition of Breaking Bad posting that kind of shook the internet. Goncharov. Speaking of shaking the internet, this was more of a Tumblr-specific meme, but this was a wonderful cultural moment where a random post of this poorly translated label became a internet fiction project where people would talk about what happened in the movie Goncharov and scenes from the movie Goncharov and fan fiction of Goncharov, this being a movie that doesn't exist. We love it when the internet comes together to create fiction for something fake, and so this was a wonderful cultural touchstone. Reagan sweep. Well, this one also requires just a little bit of explanation, but there was a list of hottest anime DILFs first, I believe.
A bracket.
Much like we did for Meme of the Year, whereby Reagan from Mob Psycho 100 ended up winning. And then there was another one for hottest anime MILFs, and because it was user-submitted, Reagan also won. And so we had multiple more brackets where Reagan took until finally being ousted by Sans Undertale for the title of Tumblr Sexy Man of all time. This being a poll where he only lost by like 0.1%. So this was... again, a wonderful moment of people coming together and really shouting and supporting Reagan and indeed Sans Undertale when it came to that moment. And we got, again, a lot more fan art. It was very respectful and very funny. brisket heart emoji. So Bridget is trans and we stan a trans queen, confirmed specifically by the creator, so don't come at us, people who don't like trans people.
Also, don't listen to our episodes.
Yeah,
just, what are you doing?
Yeah, if you don't like trans people and you're here, I don't know how you got this far, but please leave. Anyway, Bridget had her name kind of bastardized a bit into brisket because of a specific Tumblr post, which then became things like bucket, baguette,
basket.
Yeah. And so Bridget, this, while the meme itself is brisket, this kind of extends to sort of the Bridget posting that came after it as well, along with, you know, all the various bastardizations of her name. And just, again, this was a very wholesome meme. This was a very, this was kind of a wholesome year in general. And finally, Seabat. To go against exactly what I just said, Seabat was a Reddit post that went a little too far about a specific song that a guy would play during sex that was really bad as a sex song. It became a TikTok trend, and then it became a meme outside of that. It, you know, got its requisite things like, you know, mashup usage and stuff like that. This was just kind of another little cultural moment with a little bit more of a cynical edge, but also not, like, terrible. It was... It just kind of became a wonderful song that became shorthand for, you know, being in on the joke. And that's, you know, that's what a lot of memes are. And so, you know, it's worthwhile remembering it.
And the winner is...
Kid Named Finger.
I really like how this sort of created a new character out of Mike Ehrmantraut.
Yes.
Like, Mike Ehrmantraut from Breaking Bad and Finger are two different people.
Yes. Do not make the same mistake that Matt did, and assume that his name is Finger, because Finger is, basically, like, much like, you know, Shrek or Sans Undertale, kind of now a new character in the internet canon.
Mm-hmm.
And...
A reclaimed character, I think we called it.
Yes, and, like, I also just... well, it's probably the least important part of it, but I honestly just also love the bait and switch of the original joke, too.
Yeah.
I have loved that specific bait and switch for a while, and so the fact that every once in a while that would pop up again because of Kid Named Finger just warms my little heart. It's also just kind of warms my little heart to see Breaking Bad posting, because Breaking Bad, a lot of the actors and stuff are, like, really cool people and actively cool to this day, and, you know, it's become part of the internet canon in a very fun way.
Also, while not technically related to Kid Named Finger, I want to give a shout-out to the characters Mike and Ike Bing Salmon from Comedy Bang Bang. That are themselves sort of improv comedians finger-posting.
Nice. All right.
We're getting into the two big ones here. The Indie Game of the Year and Game of the Year, which are two different categories.
Yes. One is not inherently more important than the other, but because of various reasons, they are separated. And so we are going to have two really good games that we say deserve the victory. And also, anything we talk about, once again, is probably worth your time. Now, unfortunately, I did not play a lot of video games this year. I essentially played Final Fantasy XIV, the critically acclaimed MMORPG, with a free trial up to level 60, including the award-winning expansion Heavensward for free. And, like, Terraria.
We haven't done the episode over it.
Oh, we haven't?
Spoiler alert.
Oh.
It's not out yet.
Oh, shit.
Because we have to record the second part.
I thought that we had the first part over.
Nope.
Damn it. I guess bleep that one out. Bleep that one so we're not spoiling it. Anyway, I have, joking aside, I have played some other games this year, and so let's talk about Indie Game of the Year first. And the nominees this year are...
Tunic, a action-adventure sort of exploration game about playing retro games that are not made for you. The text is in a different language, made-up language even. The instruction booklet is part of the game and is crucial to the gameplay itself, and it's very cute.
Cult of the Lamb. This was something that the internet sort of hooked on to immediately, being something both very cute and a little bit dark, and also very fun with player expression. While I myself did not play it this year, I did participate in a lot of the memes and a lot of the fun art of it, and, you know, it's nice to see the internet sort of generally agree that one game is, you know, pretty good and pretty fun and pretty nice.
It does combine two popular genres, hack and slash roguelites and village building life sim games.
Which means that there's ample opportunity for both fun gameplay and getting attached to your villagers who you then have to sacrifice.
Trombone Champ. Y'all ever heard of Trombone Champ? It's a rhythm game where you play a trombone, and it really leans into the silliness of the game. It's very hard to play the notes accurately. Instead, it's very easy to play them slightly off tune. I don't know if that's accurate to the experience of playing a trombone in real life, but considering that the ska community seems to be big fans of the game, I would say it's not harmful. Trombone Champ notably started out with just a lot of sort of classical compositions, royalty-free music, has a huge modding scene now, and has a lot of like really silly side quests and storylines. There's the baboon subplot, famously, and it was on the news. You can also make your trombone make fart sounds.
Nice.
The Looker. The Looker is a shitpost tribute to The Witness, and as such, it's mainly there for people who are already fans, or at least have played The Witness. Whether you like or dislike The Witness, I think The Looker is for you. It parodies both the puzzle stylings, the world design, the overall themes and presentation. Shoutouts to the Big Ship audio log. And it will get you banned in Jonathan Blow's Twitch chat if you bring it up, so that's fun.
Nice. As somebody who did not play The Witness, but kind of knew about The Witness through some video essays and cultural osmosis, and being Matthew's friend, mm-hmm. The Looker is also, while you should have some context, The Looker is also pretty good if you haven't played The Witness. A lot of the jokes are just very funny on the face of them.
Right. It's like Airplane or something like that, where yeah. They're funny enough by itself, but if you've seen what they're referencing, it's even better.
Yes. Vampire Survivors, probably the breakout hit of the year. Vampire Survivors was this random little game for like $3 that just kind of absolutely blew up and had created sort of its own genre. A love letter to things like Castlevania and such. It ended up becoming this big, like, kiting mob control game that just sort of grew on itself and got constantly updated and updated. It's I would say that while the game itself is very good, the sort of legacy of it, the fact that it is just this small little game that blew up and then just continued getting updates and continued getting great, is sort of a testament to the fact that, you know, like the indie game scene, the indie game sort of, you know, legacy of being able to make something you love and then it getting big is in fact still something that can happen these days, even though it feels a little more out of reach nowadays. If you make something you love, you can sometimes get good recognition for it. Also, shout outs to the fact that James Stephanie Sterling is now writing lore for the game.
Also, if we had video game soundtrack of the year, it would win that category.
My God, yes. Video game soundtrack, like, oh, it's so good. Also, I think it just got a DLC for like mm-hmm. $2, making yeah. the total price of the game $5. So mm-hmm. if you can scrape together enough money to wash your laundry, you can probably buy the game too and have loads of fun.
Instead of loads of laundry, I get it. And Last Call BBS. The most recent Zachtronics game is in the form of a mini game collection where you are playing from you're in the future playing an old computer connected to an old BBS where you can download pirated copies, quote unquote, in fiction, of different mini games, most of which are puzzle games. There's like a paper puzzle one. There's a few different types of solitaire. There are many of these Zachtronic sort of procedural scientific contraption games, what have you. It is all backed up by this sort of framework built around internet nostalgia for the days before, like, Web 2.0, the days before the dot-com boom.
And the winner this year is...
Okay, I need to make a disclaimer here. So, this actually took some debating. I have honestly been trying to decide on this all week. The winner is Tunic. But I do really want to preface this by saying Vampire Survivors is a close second.
Yes.
It's like a 49.9 to Tunic's 50.1. Or, no, 41 point... No, 40... Anyways,
a good way to visualize it is like if Vampire Survivors is Reagan from Mob Psycho 100, then Tunic is Sans Undertale.
Yes, like Vampire Survivors is important. It's a powerhouse. It's a force to be reckoned with. It's a rising tide. But also, I think Tunic is more like artistically interesting. It is, I think, in some ways more experimental, and it's experimental in the way that, like, is hard to replicate. It is a game about translation and about the language that games use both directly and indirectly to tell you how to play the game and what to do. The way the instruction booklet is incorporated is beautiful and, like, very realistic and wholesome in a way. And also just it, the secrets and stuff in the game are phenomenal, mind-blowing.
Yeah, this is like a situation where it's like, on one hand, you have a wonderful game that kickstarted its own genre, essentially. And on the other hand, you have something that, you know, just like did what we already know a video game can do, but did it extremely well and made a very good thematic point about it. And, you know, it's hard to choose one over the other. We're giving this one to Tunic sort of officially, quote unquote. But you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. Vampire Survivor Dev, come here. Come here real quick. If you want to put on the Steam listing Netsurfer Pro's Game of the Year, we will allow you to do that. You're 100% allowed to name this as a Netsurfer Pro's Game of the Year on the Steam listing. It's just that it can only go on the Steam listing. You can't put that anywhere else. Okay?
Also, Ponkle, Vampire Survivors Dev, if you'd like to come on the podcast and talk about Tunic, that would be really cool. Or yeah. Like Castlevania or Bloodstained. We are also still, of course, reaching out to Banksy to talk about Mark Echo's
Mark Echo's getting up, yep.
Kikiyama to talk about Jimmy and the Pulsating Mass. And yeah. I feel like there was... Oh, yeah. And Alluvium to talk about... I don't even think we had anything in mind to talk to Alluvium about.
Via Verde, Marble Hornets?
Yeah.
Maybe? Yeah.
Those are our outstanding invitations.
Yeah. So, you know what? We'll also extend this to Tunic's developer. If you'd like to come on the Tunic's developer or developers, if somebody from Tunic would like to come on the podcast and talk about Vampire Survivors, that would also be great.
Yes.
Anyway, so yeah, Indie Game of the Year. It sucks a little bit to separate these, but this is the language that we have.
Yeah. So this is Game of the Year, which is for AA and AAA studios, things that are not the small independent company. Now, I know people have had sort of takes on Annapurna not being indie or Devolver not being indie because they are known properties. I think the budget and the team size matters about as much, if not more, than name brand.
Yeah.
So that is why things like Cult of the Lamb, which were published by pretty big publishers at this point, are still indie. With that being said, these are basically the big name games. The ones you will see trailers for at, like, the Game Awards.
Yeah.
The ones that you will see at Target.
Yeah, these are the games that even normies will know, quote-unquote.
Games that are $60 to $70.
And the nominees this year are...
Elden Ring.
It's going to win. Moving on. Kirby and the Forgotten World. The first Kirby game we've gotten on a mainline console in a while, I believe.
Since Return to Dreamland on the Wii, I believe.
Yes. This one was in fully 3D, and we were all kind of wondering if they were going to be able to stick that landing, and my god, did they. This is a wonderfully imaginative game. This is a nice return to Kirby and a nice return for Kirby. We love to see the cute little guy do some cute little guy things.
I love the atmosphere of this game. It just makes you want to, like, sit down and live there.
Yeah. I mean, technically, we do live there.
Spoilers.
Splatoon 3.
Speaking of technically, we live there.
Yes. Splatoon 3, this has been a very apocalypse-heavy year for Nintendo. They've been more and more explicit with the fact that these games are just a future version of Earth. But Splatoon 3, what a... It's hard to specifically define Splatoon 3 because it is an FPS, but it's an FPS that's sort of like a territory control, but it's... Splatoon 3 is its own thing, and I love it for that. It is... it has...
Well, it's not an FPS, it's a TPS.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It is a wonderfully imaginative world. I think we have the weakest idols thus far, but I do love me Big Man. Fucking love Big Man.
Okay, but Pearl? Oh, not Pearl, sorry. Shiver, but Shiver?
Shiver. Also, I do love Fry. I love all of them. This is just sort of like a nice comfort game. It's...
Also, like, the 3D platforming stuff in the single-player mode is great.
Yes. While this is definitely something you should really only buy if you have access to the multiplayer, the single-player mode might be the strongest showing, aside from maybe the Octo expansion, but it's hard to top that.
They also put Blockus in the game.
Yes, they put Blockus in the game. Oh, man, I love Turf Battle so much. It's so unnecessary.
This is the first Splatoon game I've played, but it's so refreshing of a game concept. Like, a team-based shooter where instead of trying to get death matches or trying to, like, move a payload, you're just painting the ground.
Yeah.
You're just painting around on the ground.
Shoutouts to my fellow Roller Mains out there. It got buffed in this one, and thank God for that.
I'm Inkbrush.
How could you?
Sonic Frontiers.
Let me check my notes here, fourth Sonic Adventure 3, I believe.
The fourth Sonic Adventure 3, the second Strain-type game, the first open-world Sonic game, and honestly, maybe the best Sonic game since Sonic Adventure 2. I will take no questions. It's a step forward for the Sonic series by kind of looking at what actually matters about Sonic, discarding what doesn't matter, discarding some of the level design and gameplay conventions that have gotten stale, and bringing in comic writers to write the characters well and interesting and fun and real and wholesome and pog and epic and cool. It's completely different than any other Sonic game, and that's a good thing.
Nice. Multiverses. This is honestly... This one, we really went back and forth on whether it deserved indie game, well, not deserved, but whether it was supposed to be an indie game of the year or game of the year, because it's big name properties, but also it's a platform fighter, which is itself kind of a niche genre of fighting games.
And it is a smaller team, but it does have, like, the voice acting for WB, unlike NASBA.
Yeah. NASBA is, while NASBA was a very good meme, essentially, and still a good platform fighter in its own right, Multiverses is just kind of a labor of love. Like, there's a small part of me that's yelling, and it's the part of me that also instinctively hates Fortnite. But at the same time, Multiverses is something that was made by people who clearly loved a lot of the source material, made with people who worked on the source material and also loved it. And it's just this, it is a sort of like light world version of what you can do with like a large media property like a Fortnite.
You can have Velma and Superman fight LeBron James and Morty.
And you can have Jake the dog.
Well, you can have Finn the human.
You can have Jake the dog and Finn the human, but Jake the dog can say horse shit.
Yep.
Let Velma say fuck, damn it.
Yes.
Oh, also, Velma calls the police.
Yeah, Velma calls the police, which has pretty severe consequences.
Yep. Shoutouts to Garnet, just in general.
Shoutouts to Arya Stark being in the game as well. Just a live-action HBO character.
Yeah, this is just, it's a fever dream of a game in the best possible way.
Gizmo from Gremlins.
Yeah. God. And the one that won this year.
We're not even going to do the drum roll. It's Elden Ring.
Yeah, it's Elden Ring.
So we didn't actually talk at all about Elden Ring. To go about it further, every, like, From Software, there's got to be a better name for this series. The fucking Soulsborne-ecky ring.
Yeah, so...
It every time one comes out now, it is a huge event that takes over the internet. These are, like... some of the most beloved and anticipated releases throughout gaming, in the gaming community. Elden Ring is notable for still being hard like those other games, but more accessible. It offers more tools for the player that lead to, or can lead to, safer playstyles. Things like the way magic and range weapons were retooled, or the summons that you can now do. It's an open world to an extent, but it at least means that there's a lot of places you can go when you're just starting out. You don't have to get pigeonholed by a boss.
Yep.
It has great characters like Ranny, the four-armed lady.
Yep, yep. Ranny, the four-armed lady, or the big wolf man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Weig, I think is his name.
It also has the dung eater.
The loathsome dung eater.
And
that final boss who has that fun move that everyone dies to.
We also got, you know, a lot of good community memes like Let Me Solo Her, No Maidens,
Touch Grace.
Yeah, Touch Grace. Yeah, Elden Ring came out and we knew it was going to win Game of the Year. And I was honestly genuinely a little bit like, quote unquote, worried watching the actual Game Awards that it was not going to win because God of War Ragnarok swept a whole bunch of other shit. Not to say that's a bad game, of course, but Elden Ring, it really...
It's the culmination of all of those previous games the team has worked on. It not only, like, includes mechanics from Sekiro and Bloodborne and Dark Souls that weren't always in the same game at the same time, but it does so, like, seamlessly in a way that is very masterfully and intently crafted. You know, the environment design is on point as always. The writing is always on point. You know, George R.R. Martin worked on the world building for this, which sometimes it's easy to forget that.
Yeah, it's... Elden Ring, while I disagree that things like Dark Souls are inaccessible, I would make the case personally that you can get into Dark Souls, and even without a lot of skill, you can get into it and enjoy it and get better at it. The fact that Elden Ring lowered the floor still is wonderful, because these are excellent games that people deserve to be able to play, and I will hear no arguments to the otherwise. Again, if you're somebody who thinks, they should be as hard as possible, blah, 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 then... Go do your bad Jordan Peterson expression somewhere else.
Sick Peterson impression, bro. Yeah, it's...
Drinking apple juice is the Dark Souls of drinking.
Fucking cider. Yeah, it's hard to state how much of a cultural impact Elden Ring had this year. How it just kind of became the thing the internet was about for a while. And, like, it's just such a good game. There are... so few series that do things that this series does, or this franchise, or what have you, this, like, spiritual soul linkage series.
Yeah.
They're not just, like, the way they present information, the way they tutorialize and sort of guide players through their levels, the level design themselves, they're done with such confidence and, like, such expertise on player psychology and designing worlds to be played in, that they deserve to be studied in classrooms. And I mean that in the best possible way.
Yeah, this... FromSoft is a masterful company, and, like, I love that Elden Ring especially sort of widened the parameters even more, so that whether you are a hardcore sort of, like, you know, soul level one runner, or somebody who's only just really now getting into the series, anybody can come into it and sort of get what it's about and start playing and really find themselves in this world. Thank you very much for creating such a... I don't know why I keep thanking people, but thank you very much.
They deserve it.
Yeah, they you know what, they do deserve
it. Just being polite.
Yeah.
You're a polite boy.
Yeah, so... Elden Ring, even though it was obvious, the fact that it was an obvious choice does not inherently devalue it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What a year we had, huh?
Yeah. 2022, I will admit on a slightly personal note, 2022 had a very rough start for me. I caught COVID, I lost my job, and then had, you know, a good period where I was, like, really happy there, doing real political work, and then I had another period where I did some random work, and now I don't have a job again. But, because I want to keep this positive, 2022, I think has been, of the most of the three recent years, probably the best year. I don't want to just say it's all been a downward spiral. Things have gotten better.
Yeah, because fuck Emp Lemon.
Yeah, fuck Emp Lemon. Things have gotten better, and things, I think, will continue to get better in general. You know, I'm not going to make that claim sort of on a worldwide scale, but, like, I can at the very least say that from a personal level, I've gotten a lot of my friends to hang out with you a lot more, and thus you to hang out with a lot of my friends a lot more.
I mean, that wasn't entirely your orchestration.
That wasn't
entirely
my orchestration.
You're kind of taking a big man stance for what is ultimately the decision of a group of people.
I don't believe in the great man theory, but I do believe in the great Galen theory, because I'm great.
I believe in the Big Bang theory. Our whole universe was in a hot dense. Okay, yeah.
I believe in the Big Man theory, which is the theory that Big Man from Splatoon 3 is great.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, just... So I am so happy that we get to do this podcast. I am so happy that we get to talk about things we love. I'm so happy that, you know, like for in years that seem darker and darker, I am so happy for the lights that come about from it, because they remind me that life is still worth experiencing.
Yeah. I mean, so this year, like, I started playing RPGs again. Tabletop role-playing games,
yep.
Which I love and missed dearly. You know, I've been sort of appreciating more media that I don't normally do. I've been, like, watching more movies. We have a movie night.
Yeah.
It's great. We might have somebody on from the from that group to talk about... Not a movie, though.
Yes.
I've been, you know, really happy with the podcast and how that's turning out. I have been streaming a lot and really enjoying my stream, trying new things with it. I have been able to raise at least $300 for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation.
Yeah, which is fucking awesome,
by
the way.
By using my streaming skills.
Yeah.
Which has made me very happy that I could make an impact that way. And I'm making another video, so I'll have two videos out by the end of the year, hopefully.
I am hoping to have at least probably not till the end of the year, but I'm hoping before January at the very least I have one video out, because I meant to make videos as gifts for friends, and you specifically told me, don't tell me what mine is about, I believe in you. And so I want to be able to make my video and get it out sometime in January, because I had a really fun video idea for yours. So
yeah,
I don't know, maybe it's the spirit of the new year sort of coming around the corner, but I'm trying to keep my chin up, and, you know, I'm really hoping to actually sort of stick the landing on a lot of things.
Keep your chin up, like that meme of the, like, three pirate sailor guys walking all strutting Chad-like.
Oh my god, yeah, we didn't even talk about that meme, but that was a fun animation meme that we had of this year.
I think with that, that closes out the episode this time.
Yeah, thank you very much for listening. We, of course, have to go in and get to the gala at the end of this, because, you know, we did the award show while, you know, people like Cypher from Valorant and Hyperrealistic Mario have been partying inside. But, you know, again, thank you very much for listening. This has been NetSurfer Pro. You can find us on pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can find us on Twitter as well, and on... do we have another social? Do we have a Tumblr?
Not yet.
But we're hoping to start things like a Tumblr and, you know, a TikTok page with some good bits of ours up pretty soon. So you can find us on various socials as well.
Yeah, a lot of podcasts have, like, a best of, you know, recap clip show for the year. And the thing is that we did not have any clips planned, and we don't really know what was our best bits.
Yes, I'm kind of, spoiler alert for next year, I'm kind of hoping to introduce essentially a single bit section,
mm-hmm.
So that we have sort of little bits we can take from this podcast and put onto things like YouTube.
Yeah. You can also, while you're listening to us on whatever podcasting platform you like, give us a comment, a rating, a review, let us know how we're doing, give us any suggestions for things we should cover or things we might like, and you can also send us a message for that on Twitter as well.
Yes. Hey, where can they find you, Matt?
You can find me on Twitter at Twakaroo, TWAKAR00, and on Tumblr under the same name. I post my hot takes, my responses to rivals' Twitter being weird. just generally talking about what I've been into recently. A lot of Coheed and Zootamayo fan posting.
Nice.
And on Tumblr, I have been going through my top favorite games list from the bottom going up and writing little bits about parts I liked from them. So far, I've done Sunshine and Guitar Hero 2. And I believe the next one is going to be Mario Kart 8, actually.
Nice.
So check that out if you're interested in some short form analysis. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/twack, where I have made one video from about games last year. I'm working on another video. I've just had low energy, so it's been hard to finish it, but that should be up soon, and then after that will be my video on 2022 games. Here's a hint. We talked about at least two of the games that will be featured.
Nice. As for myself, you can find me on Twitter and on TikTok at Galen Wilson. That's at GALANWLS0N. My Twitter, I've decided, is going to be very negative, so maybe don't follow that one. But my TikTok tends to be very fun. You can find me on Tumblr at tumblr.com/GalenWilson or galenwilson.tumblr.com, I believe. If you look up Galen Wilson, you might be able to find me. I mentioned NetServerPro in my profile. Tumblr, I'm hoping to use a lot more in the new year. I'm hoping to do sort of, you know, more analysis, more talking about things that come on my mind that, you know, don't fit in 280 characters and aren't on Twitter. You can also find me on YouTube at The Only Galen on YouTube, where, like I said, I'm hoping to have some videos sometime in January at the very least. And you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/machinegunvampire, where I'm hoping to start streaming more, especially, I assume we're going to be doing more streaming together and such.
I assume.
Fingers crossed.
You know what happens when you assume?
You make an ass out of you and some guy named Lation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that has been the Net Surfies, and that has been 2022. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate your continued patronship. That being patrons of listening.
Yeah, we don't have a Patreon yet.
Yeah, but you know, it's a new year, it's a new us, so we're hoping to start a. I don't know where this bit's going.
Yeah, I don't know where this is going. We're going inside to have a nice meal and maybe chat with all of our favorite characters and maybe some characters that will be debuting next year.
Hey, it's me, Cypher. Hey, are you guys done? There's some fun new characters here.
Oh shit, we gotta go inside. If you see Johnny Michaels, tell him that I broke his car tires because the car was starting to roll off a cliff, and that was the only way I could think of to stop it from happening.
All right. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Mario Kart 8, specifically the Switch version. What the fuck is the actual title?
Deluxe. For? Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
I saw DX and I thought Director's Cut because of Sonic Adventure DX. Oh, that's going in the post credits. All right.